This is Action Podcast with Paul Bailey and Sam Forsberg.
So today, Paul, we're joined by two lovely ladies who are facilitators of the 55 concepts. And we've touched on some of the concepts before in one of our previous podcasts, and it's something that feels very aligned with some of the topics we like to talk about. So I'd like to welcome today Anne-Marie and Nancy, because we're going to have a bit of a play with the topic of abundance. So welcome, ladies.
Thanks, Sam.
Thank you, Sam.
If we just sort of maybe start by sharing what our own personal definitions of abundance are. Paul, where would you start with that?
Abundance, for me personally, tends to be the sort of the sensation that I'm receiving all my wishes at the moment, or everything seems to be satisfied, and I don't have any real direct needs or a lack of something. For me, an abundance of good times, I think, is probably a good way to put it.
Mm, cool. For me, it's something that I used to, I guess, think of it in a lot more of a material way when I heard the term abundance, about having, you know, loads and loads of money in the bank, or a really, really successful business or something like that. But over the last wee while, I've had the opportunity to sort of rethink how I felt about abundance. And I really think that for me, it's now much more about just the sense of just enough, that there is just enough of everything in my life, and that all is well, I guess. How do you feel about it, ladies?
For me, it's a sense of fullness, of richness. And it's not necessarily that there's more in my life. It's more about that I notice more. I notice more beauty. I notice more detail. I'm more present.
Mm.
And the feeling that, as Paul said, whatever I need is there. It's just available to me. And so whichever way I turn, what I want or what I need is available.
For me, I too at one time perceived abundance as financial. And I too have come to a place where understanding that abundance is having whatever, whatever I want to manifest in my life at that time, knowing that it's there to have that. And it's taken me on into a place of realizing it's not about money, and it's not about having things. It's about just being happy and joyful in my life.
I guess that for some people, actually, it might be easier if we describe what a lack of abundance is, what the opposite is, because quite often some people can relate easier to almost like the negative side of things, just so that they can make that connection. So what would a lack of abundance feel like for you, Anne-Marie?
Lack of abundance for me is when I realize and I get into a space where thoughts are running that, oh God, I don't have enough to pay my bills, or I don't have the relationship I want, things of that nature. And then I realize I'm in that lack, what I call that lack mentality, where I feel like I don't have something.
Yeah. Is that the same for you, Nancy?
Yeah, pretty much the same. And as you're speaking about it, what I'm also realizing is it's a lack of trust that it'll be there when I need it. Because very often I'm absolutely fine in the moment, but my lack comes in where I don't trust that it'll be there tomorrow or the next day or at the moment that I'll want it or need it.
Mm.
Mm, that's interesting.
It is. I really identify with that, actually, because like Anne-Marie said, there's almost this sense of starting to stress or worry about things and getting anxious about what I might feel like I'm lacking or that I need, and that it's that same sense of not trusting that it's going to be there as and when I need it. So it's almost like worrying about something in advance of it and not trusting that it will sort itself out, or that I will sort it out somehow.
Yeah,
I'm just feeling that sense of almost euphoria, despair, where somebody feels like they have everything that they need right now and everything's going really well, and that actually scares them. It's almost the scare of success, that they've got something that's going good, and they just feel like they're going to lose it any second now. It's going to slip through their fingers and they're going to end up in the lack sensation.
Yeah, I find that's a lot about the beliefs that people carry, because what you hear from people when they get there is, well, it can't stay this good. It can't be good forever. Things can't keep going really well. And I find sometimes people actually sabotage their own success, which in the concepts we use, the definition of sabotage is proving their underlying beliefs. So they get to the point of such anticipation of things going wrong that they actually cause them. And some people will tell you that when it goes wrong, they then have a sense of relief because they knew it was going to happen.
They proved themselves right, didn't they?
Absolutely, every time.
Yeah. Let's look at some of our personal experiences about abundance or lack thereof, because I know that for myself, what you just said, Nancy, about sort of almost finding the evidence for whatever we feel or believe at that point is really, really the case, because if we believe in abundance, and I do, then I believe that there is always enough, that there is everything around me that I need, or that I have everything that I need. And yet when I'm in that space of lack, I'm looking at what's lacking or what I feel is missing or what I feel I still need, and I'm almost chasing that. But when I am in the space of abundance, I'm noticing, like you said, all of those good things and all the detail and the positive positive parts of being present. And so that experience is very different, but it's based on the same kind of principle, really.
Yeah. There's a concept, we chase what we believe we do not have. And for me, that really comes into play when I'm in that mentality of I don't have. Mm-hmm. So I'm out there chasing for it, whether it be money, relationship, whatever it is. And I want it so bad because I feel I don't have it.
Yeah.
And that's a good way for people to check in with themselves. What are you chasing? And when you look at what you're chasing, then what is it that you believe you don't have, and actually work on those beliefs? Because there's also a concept that says abundance, like perfection, already exists. And obviously when we're in that state of lack, we don't believe it exists. So what is it in us that needs to change? Because it's not necessarily the outside world. Very often it's the inside.
Oh, absolutely.
It sounds like quite a nasty catch-22 situation, which could be for some people, that when they're in the abundance scenario, they have everything they need, so they don't realize they're in abundance. Mm-hmm. And then to the next stage where they go into the lack scenario, they feel like they don't have everything they need, so they yet again have not experienced or weren't registering the abundance that they did have before. And just as you said as well, when you're actually in a state of lack, if you take time out to consider, okay, what are my options? What do I have right now? You can actually find that it may be not quite so much abundance, but there is still abundance there.
It's that's something I'd really like to touch on too, is how we each individually experience abundance, or what times in our life have we actually more clearly noticed when we are in that state? Because for me, abundance is really almost like a kind of a sense of curiosity and wonder, and it's almost like looking at the world in a different light. So what are some of your experiences of times when you actually really can tell that you're in that place of abundance?
I find I'm abundant when I'm in an expansive place, when I'm outgoing, when I'm open to new ideas, as you said, curious, and my world seems very wide. But we also go through those periods where we contract rather than expand. And so it's sometimes those contracted times. And the difference is whether I simply close down for a quiet time to go into my inner space, or I close down and tighten up, in which case that's where I feel the lack.
For me, when I'm in a place of what we're talking about, abundance, I don't even say, in my forefront mind, even think, oh, I'm in abundance right now. It's a space for me of when I'm feeling very present in the world. I like the word curiosity. That was great. Where I'm just like a childlike mindset, looking at the world like, wow, what can I do next? What do I want to do? What do I love to do? All that space of creativity, creating my life instead of, say, grabbing for something to have in my life.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that one. It, when I'm in a state of abundance as well, I don't label it as that. I just feel very lucky and very appreciative of all the things that I have, all the options that are available to me, and almost feel like it doesn't really matter what I do. As long as I do something, I know it's going to be the right thing for me.
So it's interesting that we're saying that lack is a place where we have the lower feelings or the tightening up or the being afraid, but abundance is actually at, for most of us, at a neutral place. It isn't like a high where we're so excited that, you know, the world is just spinning so quickly for us, but it's this neutral place of saying everything is as it should be. And so we see one of the concepts is life is a series of benign events. We see everything as benign, as just working, not as, oh, isn't it magnificent that, you know, the dishwasher worked today, but of course the dishwasher worked today. And we accept it as what is.
Yeah, the sense of acceptance and also of a kind of a place of being in gratitude. So it's not, like you said, sort of thanking, you know, everything for working or sort of making that a conscious choice for gratitude, but just sort of being present in that space of gratitude and being thankful for what is. And I think for me, one of the times that I most easily notice myself in that place is actually when I'm watching animals. And it doesn't matter whether it's my kitty cats or whether it's animals on television or, you know, some of the times I was very lucky to go on safari, for example, but I just find them so enchanting, watching a bird out the window, that it can actually put me in that space of just being present, being grateful, and feeling that the world is just this wonderfully curious place to be explored.
So let me ask this then, because we're all, we clearly have experience in one form or another the abundance side of it, whereas I'm sure a few of our listeners are going, well, yeah, but how do I get that? How do I get there? How do I move from lack to abundance? So what would be a technique, or what would you do to maybe reevaluate your current situation if you were in a lack situation?
I think one of the first things is to look at what are my beliefs? What are the things that I believe right now? Because beliefs create reality, and usually wherever we are is exactly where we've come to by our beliefs and our thoughts. So what are the beliefs I have that make what I have right now a reality? Mm-hmm. And to begin to bring them to the surface, because for a lot of them, they stay hidden. And things that stay hidden don't serve us and keep us from seeing what reality is.
Yeah, I found for my experience with this process, working through a lot of the same thing Nancy was talking about, my beliefs and thoughts about lack required assistance, which for us we call the mentoring process, or if like working with a coach, a mentor, anybody to assist you in finding those places that you have blocks in. Because sometimes within yourself, you know, you keep it hidden or you disregard it or push it away. And I really feel strongly that it does require some assistance from someone.
I'd really agree with that, because one of the other funny things that we can do, and I'm certainly prone to it on occasion myself, is to project something that I'm not happy about onto somebody else close to me. So that can be really hard to see then when you're angry at somebody else for something, yes, but you're actually doing it yourself. And I know that's actually one of my favorite concepts, the idea that what annoys you is your own issue. But I think some of the ways that obviously having some assistance to start looking at this is really important and can be very, very helpful. But if you wanted to try and sort of start looking at or exploring your beliefs yourself, then perhaps one place to start would be just writing down your thoughts about whatever it is that's bugging you at that moment, or listening to the kind of little voices. And I don't mean in a crazy way, but we often tend to have gremlins or other people's voices that we can sometimes hear in our minds when we're sort of mulling over or feeling challenged about something. And just to start noticing or paying attention a bit more to what's being said or what we're thinking.
And Sam, what you had just said, the concept, anything that bothers you is your issue, is also a great thing that people can do. Notice what's really bugging you about other people. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, a concept is people are your mirrors and teachers. So very often you are projecting. What's bothering you about the other person is bothering you because it's your own inner self giving you the message of, hey, this is what needs to be changed right now.
Mm-hmm.
So take it seriously that this isn't just the other person. This is also a messenger that brings you the message of what is it you need to change in order to have what you want. Mm. Very powerful.
Very. And sometimes quite complicated too. But,
And not always what we want to see.
It definitely is why most of us are here, well, all of us now, including me, are recommending that you get some kind of assistance, some help, with being able to break things down. If you are in that lax state right now, to be able to have somebody help you, you know, see the wood for the trees, clear the mist, however you want to describe it, just getting your vision in order so you can see exactly what options are available to you and what you can do right now so that you can start working towards those rather than just sitting there in that haze of lack. You don't have anything, you have no options, you can't do anything. And so you just end up basically almost going into it like a victim mentality, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, Paul. People go into such a victim mentality. And, you know, another concept is be kind in all things. And I think that's where that comes in is don't beat yourself up. You know, you're here. You're already feeling beaten down. Don't do any more damage. You know, be gentle with yourself and look at the facts. But the more we beat ourselves up, the more we think we have to defend ourselves. And so we don't go anywhere. So being kind to ourselves is really important when we go there.
Mm. So if we just look at a few more ways that our listeners might be able to practically start experiencing more abundance in their lives, one of the things that we touched on is the area of gratitude. And it can be really interesting, but also and such an amazing experience to actually keep a daily gratitude journal. I'm not sure if any of you have tried that, where you just write down either at the first thing in the morning or at the end of the day and just write down the things that you're grateful for. And it doesn't have to be very many lines. You might want to only do bullet points or however you want to do that, even recording it by voice, but just to have a space where you take even 5 minutes to record the things that you're grateful for.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you on that. That's a powerful tool to start with, to look at all the positive, if you want to label it, that things in your life, so you're able to at least see the, quote, good stuff. And I really liked your suggestion, definitely writing down the negative thoughts that you may have about beliefs and lack. And what that does is it brings it into form, brings it into your awareness, so it's concrete, so it's not just floating around in your head. So that's a good start if somebody wants to start in that area, bringing it into their awareness so they know, oh, I'm thinking that again, and you're more aware of what you're doing, what you're creating.
And as Anne-Marie said, making it concrete, there's a concept that says, is it logical, reasonable, and rational? So if we become very present, and let's say we're very present, and at this moment we're saying, oh, well, what if everything's not all right at home? What if this goes wrong this afternoon? What if this happens? And if we stop ourselves by being present and actually hearing our thoughts, we'll say, wait a minute, is that logical, reasonable, and rational? Mm-hmm. Is that a place, is everything all right at the moment? is there a reason for me to be over there right now? And bring it back to actually looking at things and saying, am I making a bigger deal out of this than it actually is? Am I making it more of a drama rather than dealing with it? So being very present and looking at, is what I'm feeling, does it make sense? Does it jive with reality?
Very good. It's funny, actually, because the two of you said about writing things down, and Nancy has just stated about making self present. And being mildly dyslexic myself, I always err away from the writing of anything down as much as I can. Mm-hmm. And so making myself present and aware, I learned a little exercise a few years ago of putting myself in a state of expectant gratitude, which was quite astounding. And basically all you have to do is very simple. Imagine a very young child who has a birthday the following day, and they know that they're going to have a good time. They know that it's going to be more than they ever thought it was possible. They're going to get all the presents that they thought they really wanted. And put yourself in that child's mind just for a moment to experience that anticipation, that expectation, that expectant gratitude of thanks that tomorrow you're going to get just exactly what you need. Maybe not necessarily what you want, but what you need.
I just got goosebumps.
Yeah, one thing that I've really come to understand is that if I'm not present and enjoying every moment by moment in my life, then if I'm not in that space and I'm somewhere else doing, thinking something else, my energy is not with me or in the moment of what I'm doing. I might miss out. I might miss out on something wonderful.
It's interesting because as you were saying that, it occurred to me that abundance and being in a state of abundance is not, it's not really a destination, but it's much more like a journey. And there certainly will be times where we sort of drift in and out of abundance and or lack, and that's okay and that's natural, and at least we can look at tools and ways that will help us to move back to that more healthier state when we notice that we're not in it.
Absolutely.
So I think that this has been an extended edition because we've had two guest podcasters with us today, but I have a feeling, Paul, that we might be out of time.
I'm afraid so, yes. Our abundance has come to an end.
No, it hasn't. It's just continuing in a different way.
In a different form.
Absolutely. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us, ladies.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us. It was my pleasure.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.